I've got some good information that some of the people that were visiting with us over this weekend, that God looks like he's working on them, that they're troubled over sins, and it's questionable whether or not they have had made a profession of faith. So that's pretty exciting, I think.
Amen.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
I think that's good news. So, number 336. Of course, the people where they are, they're doing all the questioning and all that stuff right now. So. Because we trust in Christ, we have everlasting life. Number 367. 367. I don't know what that fully means, but I can't wait to find out.
Nation, he has made.
Now, if you're going to take a big, deep breath, now's a good time to do it. Because you're going to need it in just a few minutes. Let's stand up and sing this one. That'll help expand the diaphragm. Man.
Blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me and from sin and shame had brought me. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner with Him from the miry clay and set him free.
Ah!
Truth in that song. Not a lot of air, but there's a lot of truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Air.
Air. Yeah. Yeah.
Air.
I wish I had the pipes to sing that one. It's a fun. Yeah. So, Brother Lucian, you're up.
Oh. I'm not here to talk about it. You're not supposed to be listening.
I know, so I don't have to worry about it now.
That's true. I won't hear any boos, huh?
Huh?
Anyway, you know, I had started this thing about thinking about going through Hebrews. And I'll do that, but I don't know why. I didn't really prepare for that, and I had my mind elsewhere anyhow. I mentioned doctrine the other morning. You know, understanding doctrine is a good thing, I think. You know, I've heard people say, and I think it happened with me too, once I understood the truth about grace, you went back and read the same scriptures and it was like, oh, it's everywhere. This stuff is everywhere. And you don't see it before, right? So understanding the truth about sovereign grace is, man, it opens up the scriptures, I think, in my mind, you know. And I told you the story about, I was talking to my son's wife, my daughter-in-law's dad. And he made, did I mention this? That he made the comment, you know, something about, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear, you know. And so I asked him, I said, well, that's a great opportunity to add, you know, open it up. And I said, well, what do you think that means, he that hath ears, let him hear? He said, well, that just means we ought to pay attention. And I said, well, don't you have to have ears first? He said, well, everybody's got ears. Everybody's got two ears. You know, and I'm thinking, well, why did Jesus say, he that hath ears, let him hear? Well, Jesus, everybody's got ears. What are you talking about? Yeah, it makes no sense. But so it's kind of like, but when you understand sovereign grace and the effectual call, man, that makes sense, doesn't it? That really makes sense. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 14. And I want to read this passage. It's a parable that Jesus spake. And when you understand the effectual call, this comes alive, I think. But Luke chapter 14, verse 16. Otherwise, you know, you read this and you might not even think much of it. You know, just a story, a parable, whatever. Jesus said, then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, B-A-D-E, bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And some of them, they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. Go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I want you to notice a couple of things in this passage. First off, the ones that were bidden, and the word bidden, I looked it up, it just means to call, but it's a general call. Come on, come on. Okay? They were bidden. They all, with one, not some, they all, with one excuse, together made, you know, excuse. It says here, they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. Not some, all the ones that were bidden. Then you notice he says, bring in hither, bring in, not bid in, bring in hither the poor. You look up the word poor, it means reduced to begging. You know what? Preachers make Jesus the beggar, but we're the beggar. We are the beggar. Bring in the beggars, okay? And if they're so poor that they have to beg, well, they don't have any means to get there, if anyhow, huh? They don't have the ability or anything. And then he says, the maimed and the halt. Well, they couldn't get there on their own either, huh? Because they can't walk a lick, right? And the blind sure couldn't find their way there because they're blind, right? And isn't that our case? Isn't that the case of the lost sinner? We're blind, we're blind beggars, and we're lame on our feet. So we're lame. And so anyway, they did that. They brought them in too, didn't they? They brought them in, and yet there was room. And the servant said unto the Lord, we have done as I command, yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and what? Compel them to come in. Well, whoa, that's not bidding. That's not bidding them to come in. That's compelling them to come in. What does the word compel mean? Well, it means something quite different than bidding. Okay? The Greek word means to constrain. In fact, it was translated constrain 4 times and compel, I think, 5 times. Okay? And the Greek word means to necessitate, compel, drive to, constrain. Yeah. It's like, and the word constrain, listen to the word constrain too, okay? And it's from another Greek word which means constraint. Literally or figuratively, by implication, distress. Distress, much needs of necessity, needeth, that sort of thing. And when I tell you what, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of a guy, and he's lost, he's being squeezed, brother. And he has no place else to go but the Lord Jesus Christ. He's being compelled to go. And that's great. Now that's grace. That's grace. And it's not against his will, as we'll show, okay? I remember Brother Homer told this story one time. Brother Keith? He told this story about a man who's lost in the woods, right? Remember that? He said, as long as he's trying to find his way out, he's not lost. He's lost when he finally sits down and gives up. He sits down and gives up. I'm lost. And you know what? That's what the sinner does. I can't. I cannot find my way. I remember being under conviction. I tried to figure this out. You know, I tried to, well, do I need to do this? Look, you know, I saw an article about, you know, sin, you know, preachers preach against particular sins. Well, you know, instead of the problem. It's not my sins, it's sinner. You know what I'm saying? Look, when I was a Catholic, I would go list these sins, right? And he would give me these prayers to pray. I'd say these prayers. It almost sounded like a sinner's prayer. You know, I'd pray these, you know, and what got me, he wouldn't give me that many. 10 Hail Marys would wipe out a whole bunch of stuff, you know? But I guess what I'm pointing out, you know, it's the sin problem. And when a man comes to himself and he's undone and he realizes he's got a sin problem, it's not just his sins, it's me. It's me. I'm lost. And so how does a man get to that place? How does he get to the place of being undone and comes to the end of himself? Well, the effectual call is how this happens. The sinner on the Holy Spirit conviction is compelled. He's compelled. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts you of your sin and you are compelled to come to Christ. Psalms 110:3, we quoted this, everybody knows it by heart. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Psalms 65:4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Not against his will. Thy people shall be willing. We're made willing. We're compelled to come. We want to come. The sinner who's lost wants to come to Jesus. He does, doesn't he? Whereas before he didn't want to come. He didn't have any desire to come. But now he has a tremendous desire to come. And if he doesn't come, he's doomed. And so it's a wonderful thing. Now we talk about election, but election is unto salvation, isn't it? It's not salvation. It's unto. Election is God choosing us unto salvation. But the effectual call is when we, what am I trying to say, or interfaced with it, or what's the right word, Jolly? I don't know. We're faced with it.
It's going to bring you to the place of repentance.
It's going to bring you to the place of repentance. You know, I didn't know anything about election, right? Before I was saved, and before Jesus died 2,000 years ago, I sure didn't know anything about that until sometime recently in this century, or last century, you know. I didn't know anything about that, and it wasn't even important to me. But when the effectual call come, that's when I met God, so to speak. That's when I'm face to face with the problem. That's when I'm face to face with being lost. That's when I'm face to face with having to flee to Christ for safety. The effectual call. So the effectual call is the experience of salvation, I guess you might say. So to me, it is a precious thing. It's almost like your testimony. Your testimony should reveal, explain an effectual call, in my estimation. But not everybody's saved the same. I understand that. But still, we all find ourselves lost and in need of a Savior. And I think that's it. Now, as I was saying, election is unto salvation. A person cannot be saved, and believe me, I don't think that a person will ever be saved without hearing the gospel. You know, I'm not a hyper-Calvinist. I think we need to go out and preach the gospel. I can't make them believe it, though. And I don't know who the elect are, as we said over and over. But no one's going to be saved apart from hearing the gospel and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The person saved must call on Christ. He's got to call for Christ to save him, okay? Not just be elected. Okay, now some people believe you're elected and you go to heaven and don't even know it. Now, I don't believe that. I think you have to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, or the Lord, shall be saved. Isn't that what it said? But then it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? Right? Well, how are you going to call on somebody you don't believe in? And how are you going to believe in someone you ain't never heard of, right? So he says, how shall they call on him they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? It's impossible, isn't it? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Yeah. And how shall they preach except they be sent, though? Okay, they're sent. God will send them. Every one of his elect, a preacher will preach to them. That's what I believe. I don't think any of the elect are going to get away. Do you, Brother Joey?
By that token, I mean, we all have a testimony. Doesn't he make everyone the elect a preacher?
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. We should witness to people, right?
Everybody has a message.
Yeah, everybody's got a message.
Just like every one of us should have a mission report. What's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my neighbor came to me yesterday and started talking to me about how he's now, in fact, I meant to bring that up. We need to pray for him. Neighbor across the street. I can't remember his name now, but I've been kind of interfacing with him. He, all of a sudden, he's wanting to talk. He's got a problem, I can tell. He's got blood cancer. You know, so go get me a tract. Give it to him, you know. Talk to him. I said, yeah, brother, I feel for you. If I was in that shape, I'd be worried to death, too. You know, I'm worried over my camper leaking. And, you know, and I said, what you've got is a lot worse than that. I said, man, I'm the biggest worrywart in the world, but the only thing I know is when I worry, the only thing I know to do is go to the Lord. You know, because I'm a worrywart. So I felt for him, man. I don't know what I, you know, if I was in that same situation, what I'd do. I by God's grace. That's the only thing I can say. Because in my flesh, I'd crumble. Anyway. But like you said, that's an opportunity to witness to someone, isn't it? So anyway, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And that's a good thing, isn't it? It's a good thing to the one that's lost. It's not those other guys. Okay, go ahead. I don't mean
that. That certain man, like you say, he sent his servant to preach.
Yeah.
Word.
Well, that's right. He sent his servants to go. Not him. He didn't go. He sent his servants. That's the preachers, right? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And we'll see some of that when we look at how Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, too. But anyway, so in these two verses, we see the willingness of God, the ones in Psalms. We see the willingness of God's people. We also see that they do approach unto God because He has caused them to do so in the day of His power. That's why they approach. We give Him the credit for our approaching, don't we? Okay? He actually made them willing. We see that they were called God's people before they were made willing. Don't we know? Thy people shall be willing. Not when they're willing, they'll be my people. Thy people shall be, in a future tense, willing in the day of my power. In other words, they're my people, right, in election. They shall be willing in the day of my power. The effectual call. That's it. Okay. Acts chapter 18, verses 9 through 10. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. He said, go preach to them. I have much people in this city. Now, if I've got much people in this city, and yet they haven't heard the gospel, they're his people in election, right? Go preach to them. I have much people in that city. They're going to believe the gospel and be saved. Okay? God told Paul that he had people in this city, and that was of Corinth, if I remember right, and that they would believe. That's what he's saying. They're going to believe. Because you know why? I will cause them to believe. They will believe in the day of my power. Okay? Question. If they are called God's people before they believed and were made willing, then who are the children of the devil? I don't know. That's another thought I had here. I might just even skip that thought, you know. But Jesus did say, and the field is the world, and the good seed of the children of the kingdom, and but the tares are the children of the wicked one. I don't know who they are. We don't know who they are either. Sir? Look just like us. Yeah, you never. They're deceiving themselves, is what's happening. This effectual call is a drawing by God. We know that. God drew Jeremiah the prophet. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now what does the word drawn mean? Well, it means more than just some attraction. It means to pull. Remember Peter drew his sword? He didn't ask his sword, you know, oh, I wish that sword come on out. Yes, come on, pop out there, sword. He just grabbed a hold of that sword and drew it out. That's what the word draw means. So Jeremiah was drawn. And so the effectual call is a drawing by God. There's tons of scripture to show this. But it is a coming to Christ, too. It's a coming to Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come. To who? To me. They shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So, none of them are lost, all and not less, or all of them will come to Christ. But the thing is, they shall come to Christ. It's a coming to Christ. And so, it's the ones that are given, they shall come because of the effectual call. But they come to Christ too, don't they? They come to Christ. It is a hearing and believing the gospel. The effectual call is a hearing and believing the gospel. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:14. So not only is it a hearing, but it is a coming to the gospel. Okay? When the preacher simply preaches the gospel, well, that's a general call. And that can be resisted. But when God uses the preacher's mouth as an instrument, I'm kind of thinking, okay, as an instrument, it is God speaking the gospel to you. Then it is powerful, isn't it? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word of God is a sword of the what? Spirit, isn't it? That's what the Bible says in Ephesians 6:17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now, if that's something we can take, it must be this word, not the spoken word of Christ, you know, the literal spoken word of Christ, like he stood at the grave of Lazarus, and Lazarus come forth. That's his word. Of course, it's recorded. But I think he says, take with you the sword of the Spirit. Well, he's talking about this. But he said, he calls it the sword of the Spirit. Sir?
When you heard the word as it was the word of God.
Yes. Not as the word of men, huh?
Right. So yeah. There's a time when whoever's presenting the gospel to you, all of a sudden it becomes the word of God to you.
To you. Amen. That's right. So the person that thinks it's foolishness or a stumbling block, it's just the word of men. You go out there and preach this to people, talk about the gospel, that's humbug. It's just your word. It's the word of men. Men wrote this. This has nothing. God, there ain't no, you know, don't have nothing to do with God. But I tell you what, to the lost sinner, this is the, and when the effectual call comes, this is the word of God, isn't it? It's the Bible is the word of God all of a sudden. Yeah, amen. So anyway, it's the sword of the Spirit. It is the holiness of God that the sinner has offended. And when he's convicted by the word of God in the hand of the Spirit, though, the hand of the Spirit, he becomes undone, and the gospel powerfully calls him to Christ for safety, doesn't it? So the gospel and the word of God becomes the sword of the Spirit. It is. It's not my sword. I remember someone said one time, well, I'll get my sword out. No, this is not your sword. I can't wield this thing. The Holy Spirit sure can wield it, though, huh? Boy, and when he does it right, doesn't he? He really does. So anyway, an example of the effectual call. In John chapter 11, verse 43, it says, "And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound," notice that, "bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was bound about with a napkin." I guess he couldn't see much. Don't appear like he could walk very far, neither, if his hands were bound and his feet were bound. And I don't know what he could do on his own. Not much, huh? Okay. "Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go." Now, he gave them something to do, though, didn't he? Loose him and let him go. Take that napkin off. Loose him. So what was... They didn't quicken him. Jesus quickened him, made him alive, brought him forth. But their job was to loose him, let him go. Our job is to what? Preach the gospel to people. This is light, right? The gospel is the light. And so we inform the saved sinner, and we teach them, and we loose them and let them go. And so that's what they did. That's all they could do. But he did give them something to do, didn't he? Loose him and let him go. Because that stuff was still on him anyway. And that is a calling. The question may arise, well, is this really a call? When Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, is that a call? Is it ever called a call? Well, yes, it is. We certainly know that whatever it was effectual. Can you say it wasn't effectual? He didn't say, Lazarus, boy, I sure would like you to come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Oh, shucks, he didn't do it. You know, Lazarus, come forth, and he that was dead came forth. That's effectual, isn't it? Now, was it a call? Well, yes, it was. John chapter 12, verse 17. "The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave." It says he called him out of his grave. And it certainly was effectual. And it is a picture of the effectual call of a sinner, if you ask me. You put my 2 cents worth in. Anyway, I think it is. And so it's a call. Anyway, and then in Romans 8, you know this, the called according to his purpose, and we see that all the called are justified and glorified, so how can that not be effectual? That's an effectual call, right? All the justified, all the called are justified, and all the justified are glorified. Not one of them is lost.
Amen.
That's pretty effectual. Okay? Now, it is a calling, as I said, not by the preacher, but God through the preacher.
I never heard an audible voice, and you didn't either.
But it was the voice of God, wasn't it? It really was. Okay? God is faithful by whom you were called. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. By whom what? God. You were called. God called you unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus our Lord. It is God that calls. The effectual call is God calling the sinner.
Either you'll be religious or you'll be saved.
Sir?
You'll either be religious, or your decision, or you'll be saved, God called.
God called, amen, right. And that's all a decision can do for you, is make you religious, I guess. And, you know, and that guy I was talking to, he said, well, yeah, I think you just decide to believe. And I said, well, I know me, I couldn't believe, and then all of a sudden, I couldn't help believe. I was compelled to believe. Brother Joey?
And even looking at Lazarus, too, though, I mean, whenever he was said, come forth, being bound head and foot, it wasn't by his power that he came forth. Now, was he lifted?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did he do it? Well, it's certainly by him. He couldn't come forth, could he? You were brought to
the power of the Spirit that
yeah.
faith was
yeah.
all
yeah. yeah. And then what happened after that, all that the blindness got taken off and the napkin got taken off and the hands got loose and the feet got free and now, off. He's ready to go now, ain't he?
Did he float or was he drugged? I don't know. I don't think he walked out of there.
No, he didn't walk out. I think he just came out of there. Some got away. I don't know. That's what I always pictured in my mind. Lazarus is coming forth. He ain't walking one bit.
Best he could have done was a hop or a
yeah. It didn't say he hopped out neither, did he? He just came out.
That's the only way I can imagine him coming out
of here. On his own would be hopping out. That's about it. Yep, you're right. That's a good point. Okay.
But if he did a dead man, he couldn't hop until something else happened.
Yeah, that's true. Something had to hop. Something had to happen for him to hop.
He didn't just hop because he wanted to.
Yeah, amen. He's probably hopping to get out of them grave clothes. You probably feel like a fish out of water, you know. Find me some water. Anyway. Okay, but anyway, all of the call see Christ as the power of God. But some see the preaching of the gospel as foolishness, don't they? Right? And others think of it, who think they're righteous, it's a stumbling block to them. It's a complete stumbling block to those who think that they're going to heaven on their own righteousness. Now, to the ones that just don't believe none of this, it's complete foolishness. It's just a bunch of humbug. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, the religious Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, you know, the wise philosophers and the scientists and all them people that don't believe in nothing. You know, foolishness. But unto them which are what? Called, effectually called. Both Jews and Greeks, you know, the ones that are religious and the ones that are stupid, you know, or you know, think they're smart or whatever.
Some of them out of the bunch,
right? Anyway, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, but only to those that are called. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, that effectual calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Not many. All of those that are called see the preaching of Christ as the power and wisdom of God.
So
he
not
said
an
that.
All there.
Sir?
There's not an all there somewhere.
No, it's just.
Not many.
You know, my hearing aids are
wise.
My hearing aids are broke tonight.
Yeah, not many wise, but some. Not many noble, but
some.
Some.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
He came to get everybody, but
right.
The groups,
He got him some, right. But they were all called. They were all called. Okay. Because he said, you see, you're called. Not many, but some of them were called. Amen. I see what you're saying. Okay. And this must be an effective call because this calling causes them to see Christ, doesn't it? It does. Okay. Because the other ones are not called. He said, not many called. They're not called or called or whatever. Okay. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, right? In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. When did he do that? When he created the worlds, right? Let there be light. Boom, there was light, right? For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts. The same power that created light in the beginning, when he said, let there be light, he said, let there be light in that man. He has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He's done it.
Satan had that light blocked out, and God...
Yeah, that's right. Satan blinded them, but God over. You're right.
So for you to be effectually called, God has to overpower the darkness
of Satan. Amen. And he does, doesn't he? And he don't have a problem doing it, does he? Just does it. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So it is a calling that brings one out of darkness and into God's marvelous light. This calling does. Okay. Notice also, the ones that were called are chosen. We know that. Okay. I'm going to have to hurry, I guess. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. There's that stuff that you've been talking about, Brother Joy. For the acknowledgement, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the calling, of his calling, and the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints. In other words, your eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. We were called. We were called. Okay? Now, this calling reveals Christ to the sinner, doesn't it? Let me add one other thing, too, here. The gospel, speaking of light and enlightenment, the gospel brings life and immortality to light. If you go read 2 Timothy 1:10, it says the gospel by itself don't bring life, I don't think. I think the Holy Spirit is the one that quickens, but the gospel brings that life and immortality to light. It's what reveals it all to you. Or, you know, it's kind of like, in my estimation, you know, the Word of God is like bread, right? Food. Well, or water. Food is life, isn't it? You can't live without it. You can't live without water. But it's not what gave you the life initially, so to speak. But you see what I'm saying? In other words, so I don't know. Maybe I'm straining at a knot. Whatever. But anyway, 2 Timothy 1:10 says that the gospel brings life and immortality to light. To light. Okay. So, my next point is this calling, this effectual call, reveals Christ to the sinner. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, right, and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Notice that. He called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. And when he calls us, he reveals his son in us. I think, in us and to us. Romans 1:6, among whom ye are also the called of Jesus Christ. So this effectual call means that we are the called of Jesus Christ.
among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from our God and our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that. Called to be saints. Actually, the word to be is italicized, it's implied. Really, you might read that as called saints. Called out saints. In other words, they're not going to be saints in the future. They're saints right now. They're called saints. They are saints who have been effectually called. Okay? That's what it means. Okay? We are called into His kingdom. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. So we're called unto His kingdom. We're called into His eternal glory. Listen to this, 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle. It's a heavenly calling. It's a heavenly calling. Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. We're partakers of the heavenly calling. It's a holy calling. Not only is it a heavenly calling, but it is a holy calling. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. It's a holy calling. And so God does this effectual work in a sinner. I've got to stop because it's time to quit. And we read about the effectual working of God. Ephesians 3:7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. The effectual working of His power. And we are believers by the effectual working of His power. We are.
He was made that.
Sir?
He was made that.
He was made that. That's right. He was made that. He was made it. Not against him. Boy, the Lord changed His will quickly, didn't He? I mean, He had one will on the road to Damascus, and all of a sudden He had a totally different will. You know, I was on the road of rebellion and damnation, and all of a sudden one day I had a different road I wanted to travel, believe me. I didn't want that road no more. Anyway, according as His divine power, listen to this, I'm going to stop right here. I guess I had some more, but I'll stop here. According as His divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Notice that. Everything that we have, right, that pertains to life, eternal life, right, and godliness, everything that we got, He gave it to us by divine power.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Right?
Is that grace or what? Is that me doing it or what? No, that ain't me doing it. I can't pat myself on the back, huh? That's grace. It's all of grace. Anyway, we'll stop there. Brother Keith, you want to lead us in a word of prayer?
Holy Father, we just thank You for this day. We thank You for this night that we could gather in church capacity to worship You and learn more of our blessed Savior Jesus Christ and expound on the teachings of Your wonderful grace that You have so graciously given unto Your people. How thankful we are for that grace and mercy. That it is such a, our calling is such a special thing. It's the only thing that's important in this life. You've been called. We just thank You for it. Your word is true. When it comes to light, it makes Your people want to rejoice even more. It makes our heart glad, and it gives us a faith that's strengthened, and our joy is just beyond comparing. There's nothing to compare with our salvation. It's so precious. And we thank You for our Savior, what He done at Calvary. We thank You for this word, this wisdom. All these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Very good.
Lucian.
Leave man.
Yeah, just don't die here.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
we don't have a chance.